Thanks, everyone. Pleasure to be here. And I'm going to present something a bit different than you've been hearing for the past few presentations, but I think it is appropriate to think about environments in terms of the virtual and digital media environments that we are constantly surrounded by. How many of you do not have a mobile phone on you at this time? Not a single one of you, just what I thought. So this is clearly an important environment, and it interacts with other environments that we work in. And I'm going to talk about a project where mobile technology is interacting with the healthcare environment, in particular with respect to OBGYN care. So this is one of several studies I've done on the Text for Baby program. This is probably the most definitive of those studies and the largest. And I have no relationships to disclose, just like everyone else, I'm broke. Let me just tell you a little bit about Text for Baby. Probably, I'm guessing some of you are familiar with this program. Depends on what your public health interests are. It's been out there for quite a while, and it's gotten a fair amount of publicity. So if you want to learn more about it, textforbaby.org is the website. Very briefly, it is a free mobile SMS service. That's SMS, short messaging service for text messages. It's available in English and in Spanish. Basically, there is a library, a set of messages that are targeted to pregnant women and new mothers, especially to folks who are in lower SES categories who may have limited access to health information. Kind of the sweet spot is the Medicaid-eligible population for Text for Baby, although it is certainly very relevant for many other people. When you sign up, you get three messages per week, and they are tailored to a certain extent to some information that you provide when you sign up, namely your baby's due date if you're pregnant or your baby's birth date if it's a new baby message, and you also provide some information about where you live and a couple of other items. What that allows the service to do is to start delivering messages to you that are tied to the information that you need at that particular point in time. So it's not tailored to your individual needs, but it is targeted to where you are in your pregnancy, where you are with your new one. Something like, this number might be slightly out of date, but over 730,000 people have ever enrolled in this program, and there are at least 375,000 active users. Those numbers are continuing to go up as time goes on. The program's been in existence now for about 4 years. There have been over 100 million text messages sent, and a study that I co-authored with several other folks looked at whether or not Text for Baby was reaching the intended target audience of lower-income moms. And we have some evidence that it was disproportionately reaching people who live in low SES zip codes. So some information suggesting that it's reaching the intended audience. These are just some examples of some of the messages. Information about where you can go to get more information, so referral to resources, health behaviors like injury prevention, keeping your baby's mouth clean, information about doctor visits. These are just a few examples of what some of the messages look like on a phone that is probably way more outdated than any of you find people, I'm sure, have in your pocket. And this is just an example. This is a slide that illustrates the topics that Text for Baby covers. You can see that it covers a wide range of topics. That's an interesting point about this program. I would say that most, if not nearly all, of the public health programs that you will hear about at this conference this week are focusing on a much narrower range of topics. Text for Baby is taking a lifestyle, a slice of your life cycle approach. It's intervening at a point in time in a woman's life on a whole range of topics. That's a different way of doing public health, and you could make arguments for or against that approach. But Text for Baby is different in that respect. It's taking on a whole bunch of issues, not necessarily addressing any of them in tons of depth, but doing it in such a way that it's very salient for you because of the point in your life that you're at. So you can see it covers a lot of different topics and some messages on all of them. This is just an example of some of the promotion. These are posters that might be in a clinic or in a qualified public health facility of some sort. She's One Smart Mom. It's a branded program. It has a distinctive color scheme, branding, logo, and they've used those approaches to help create recognition, create an identity for the Text for Baby program. Do we have access to the internet here? Okay, so I'm not going to bother with this, but if you're interested, Text for Baby got involved in educational entertainment, which is something I've worked on in other contexts. There's an episode of one of my favorite shows, 16 and Pregnant, on MTV, where Text for Baby is featured, and basically it's an episode where a young woman is with her mom, and she has her new baby, and she's talking about the Text for Baby program and the benefits of it, and trying to, you know, saying that she's going to talk to her friends about it and try to promote it in her peer group. So it's was a good opportunity to raise awareness about Text for Baby. I don't have a lot of time here and way too many slides, so I'm going to kind of fly through this, leave time for questions. This is a conceptual model that we used. It's not rocket science. It basically says that Text for Baby was based on a couple of different theories, theory of planned behavior and social cognitive theory. And basically, we hypothesized that if you expose the target population to the messaging, and to the extent that they are exposed, so dose-response effects become important, and we'll talk about that in a minute, more exposure would lead to more outcomes, we think. People will hopefully be receptive to those messages. They will develop self-efficacy to be responsive to the behaviors that are being promoted. They'll change their behaviors, and eventually they'll have more positive health outcomes. And we, in a series of studies, have evaluated this in terms of process evaluation, monitoring the implementation of the program, and then outcomes, which I'm going to talk about in a second. So I was funded by a branch of the U.S. Army Medical and Material Command that focuses on telemedicine and mobile health applications. And we conducted an RCT of Text for Baby in a large military hospital facility, Madigan Army Medical Center is one of the largest in the United States. They see thousands of women every year in their OBGYN clinic. And in this study, we focused just on the pregnancy messages. We didn't look at the postpartum library of Text for Baby messages. So I'm going to talk about two studies that we've done, one that's already been published, another that we're hoping will come out soon. The first one looks at just the immediate 1 month after baseline follow-up data that we had from this study, and I'll show you the design in a second. And then data from the final follow-up, we followed women all the way through their postpartum period, so we have some longitudinal data on our sample. Basically, we only recruited women who were 14 weeks of gestational age of their baby or younger. There were a couple different reasons we did that, but in the interest of time, I'll just move on. We randomly assigned them to two groups. They continued to receive standard health care, or they received that health care and they enrolled in Text for Baby. And this was all done through the OBGYN clinic, so basically when women would come in, and if they met our eligibility criteria, they'd be recruited into the study and then randomized. If they agreed, they completed a baseline instrument. They sat down at a computer. It was programmed into the computer. They completed the baseline survey. And it covered a number of different things, knowledge, attitudes, behaviors related to their prenatal health, health of their baby. We also had access to some clinical outcomes data through the clinic. And we had data on the dosage of the text messages that were delivered. So we knew how many were being delivered, when they were being delivered. We had pretty detailed information about who was getting what when. And then we followed these women approximately 1 month after they enrolled in the study, at 28 weeks of gestational age, which is a key point in the pregnancy, and then at their postpartum well-baby visit. So we had three additional follow-up points. We had 943 people. They were about equally split between the two groups. We did lose people. The military population is quite transient, and even though they had mobile phones, they were deployed somewhere else. Some of these women were active military. Some were spouses. We were not able to follow them all up. However, virtually all of them, because we have separate data on their enrollment in the Text for Baby program, we know that virtually all of them stayed in the intervention. They continued to get the text, even if we couldn't follow them up with surveys. We saw some small differences in terms of who dropped out. Basically, people who were busier tended to drop out, but we didn't see any differences between the study conditions, that is, between the treatment and control groups. And this is just a diagram, a consort diagram, which is a standard way of presenting clinical trial information. Basically shows how many people were eligible we screened them, we randomized 943, assigned them to the groups, and then we were able to follow up a portion of those for additional analysis. And we only lost six people who dropped out of Text for Baby for various reasons. And so some of this information I already presented. We did identify their gestational age, and there's a typo there, I see, by last menstrual period dating. And they had to have a working cell phone in order to be eligible, and they had to read and speak fluent English. So those were some limitations of the study. And I think I've mentioned these other points here already. So let me move on here. If they were assigned to the control condition, they completed the survey and then they were excused. If they were in the Text for Baby group, we helped them enroll in Text for Baby. And they sent in a special code that allowed us to tag them, basically, as a member of our study. So we were able to distinguish them from the 700 and some odd thousand people who were enrolled in Text for Baby. We knew exactly who our participants were. And only people who were in the Madigan study and our study were counted in our treatment group. So we did some generalized estimating equation models, a form of logistic regression, to look at treatment effects, look at the effects of being a participant in Text for Baby. What benefit did that provide you? Did that lead to some beneficial outcomes? And we did some things with multiple imputation for missing data that we had. And we measured dosage. As somebody who works in health communication, I think this is a critical thing for us to try to understand. In many health communication programs, we often don't know the effects of how much of our message really makes a difference, and therefore how much to invest in getting our message out there. Dosage is really important. So one of the things we were able to do in this study that's exciting is get a very good measurement of dosage and see what effect it had. Basically, we developed an index or a measure of Text for Baby exposure, and we used that in our analysis. These are some data that just illustrate what the group looked like. Not surprisingly, they were mostly young, 20 to 34. They were just somewhat disproportionately white. The military collects somewhat different racial ethnic data than, say, the U.S. Census Bureau. So what you're seeing here are some of those information reflected. And there were not big differences, no significant differences between the control and Text for Baby groups. Not surprisingly, most participants were married. Most of them were enlisted in the military. A pretty good percentage participated in WIC, about a third, which gives you an indication of income. Even though they're employed in the military, they were not necessarily well off. Quite a few were currently in school, and roughly half had had a baby before. That's the parity data to the right of live birth. We believe that having had a live birth might affect their interest and participation in Text for Baby. So this is a slide that just shows how many messages were sent. So we had some detailed information about how many messages were sent and how many weeks they were in the protocol, when they enrolled, how far along they were when they enrolled. We saw that generally there were pretty high levels of agreement, positive agreement with the behaviors that were being promoted in Text for Baby, but there was variation. And in particular, this is the first follow-up point. So we did an analysis just looking at baseline to the first follow-up, and we see some significant effects on visitation, their beliefs in the importance of visiting a healthcare provider. Many of them were not regular, did not regularly see a healthcare provider before this. They believed more strongly in the harms of drinking alcohol and the importance of taking prenatal vitamins down there in the right-hand corner. Those were all significant results. Those were some of the content of the messages that were actually being delivered. So we saw an effective message on beliefs. We didn't see any behavioral effects. We weren't too surprised by that. It was only 4 weeks. And then we wanted to see, okay, now we have our final data, and we wanted to see whether there was an effect of Text for Baby at the final follow-up. So now we would expect to see some behavioral effects. They've gone all the way through their pregnancy. They've been in the program for many weeks now, and they've had Text for Baby for a long time. But we did not see any effects, actually, on the knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs items in this final follow-up, nor on the behaviors. So we thought, okay, maybe text for baby didn't work. We then did an analysis where we looked at the relationship between how much of text for baby they got and the effects, a dose response analysis. And I won't explain that in the interest of time, but basically we, instead of just using treatment, being in the treatment group, we now looked at the quantity of messages that were delivered. We didn't see any effects on attitudes and beliefs, but we saw a very large and significant effect on alcohol, self-reported alcohol behavior. It was much lower, more than twice as much lower. That's a small odds ratio, meaning less likely to drink. And we also saw that they self-reported far less drinking at follow-up. We had both questions about their self-reported behavior and the quantity, and we saw effects on alcohol, a dose response effect. More text for baby led to more of this outcome. This is, I think, a great example of looking at the digital environment and the effects of digital environment on health and its interaction with healthcare, as this study was done in a healthcare facility. It's a great example of looking at an intervention that targets lots of different behaviors, lots of different messages all at the same time. We do see that these programs have effects. They had short-term effect. It had a short-term effect and some longer-term effects. We need to know more about how dose response works in health communication. This gives us some evidence, but we need to gather more in this area. And Text for Baby is a promising program. So I will just stop there and turn it over for questions.